Blog Talk Radio.
More of this electromagnetic wave coming through,
we're going to start seeing, it seems like there's going to be more, there's going to be even more.
Unsettled weather? Is that what you're talking about?
No, seismic activity, which is really quite devastating. So, I don't know, George. What do you think? Do you think we're headed this way or what?
Well, we're headed this way. What do you mean by that? I mean, we're heading in a new direction.
Well,
that's for sure.
You know, we're talking. You know,
headed what way?
I hate to admit it, but here we are. We're 2012 already in March. And in 2011, a year ago. When we were headed into that ninth wave, all of a sudden there was that damned Fukushima earthquake, and
it was a year ago.
So it's like we're sitting on top of a. It's that calm before the storm. I'm just believing that there's something's going to happen, and.
We're calm, but a lot of other places aren't.
No, we are very calm here in the Northeast, but, you know, as far as, other places, I mean, they're having tremendous tornadoes. Now, there's an article here, I believe, deadly tornadoes so strong they create seismic waves. So the deadly storms that struck the Midwest and South last week were so strong that they created seismic waves. One of the twisters that struck southeastern United States. Missouri and South Illinois on February 29th passed through seismic detection array that included more than 100 state-of-the-art digital seismographs across the U.S. heartland. While seismographs have been known to detect seismic activity related to tornadoes, it is highly unusual to have the instruments recording information so close to a tornado, and the researchers said, in examining the seismograms, we recorded unusual seismic signals on three of our monitors. So it's like, these tornadoes are related to the seismic activity, And so it's really kind of quite frightening, actually, to think that...
I don't know what the heck to make of it. I really don't. I mean, we've been talking about this stuff for years, and I've been talking about this and just trying to make some sense out of it. And what you're saying is, in these weather patterns, it's like waves that just roll right over the earth, and they affect our weather patterns and the geography connected with them. But there's also the effects that have on life. Not only human life, but all animal life. They're affected by it. And, it's hard to say, how to react in a situation like this. Because,
right.
First of all, it puts you on an extreme where you're at a high state of tension. And yet, we have to make the best of what's going on around us.
Oh,
yeah. I feel bad for the people in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
They have a meltdown going down there. There's no doubt in my mind, or even for the scientific community. There's a meltdown happening in Japan, and they can't stop it.
No.
And they were talking about getting volunteers up, kamikaze volunteers, like we had in World War II. These people will be ranging from, I guess, at least 61 years of age over, but knowing that, they're going to die, but they're dying for a sacrifice of going in there and doing what they can, to the meltdown plants that are melting down. Once they come in contact with it, they're affected and they will die. But the people, first of all, are scared because they're being affected by the radiation. But they also don't trust the government, or the government has actually failed them, and there is no government other than what relief that they can bring to the people, because they've lied to them, they haven't told them the truth, and now everybody is out for themselves.
Hi everyone, this is an update.
Yeah, I've got a short video here, George. That's a prediction on predictions for 2012. Okay, major winter snowstorms, but seismic activity around the country, around the world. And I don't know if you want to
throw it on.
But I am seeing a bigger one in the hills later. But I just wanted to share. Oops, faster there. That we are, as I said, it'll be in an H form, so meaning up and down here, and what I call a lower H, it'll be down here in the lower region, which is happening here, and then here. And as you can see, these are also happening here in the East Coast, which we will be having a few more. I see around about July, actually. Unfortunately, there'll be some more tornadoes as well. We'll talk about that another time. But basically, this is right about this region, actually, is where Yellowstone is. It won't be occurring so much in Yellowstone. You will have activity definitely there. But it'll be in this region here that you'll be having an increase of seismic activity and higher up, not... about 13 feet below, but it'll be 13 and above. We'll say about that, right about that time. So basically, you'll have more shifting of the ground that's going to be felt. Here again, as I said, we'll go closer there. It's going to increase in activity. As you see, just in the last few days, there's been quite a bit of activity there. As you see, just we'll go closer there. It's going to increase in activity.
Right, for a second. It says, important as predicted in the video, 12/31, she had predictions for 2012. On 2/28, major winter storm and energy shift, which will occur in February 18th through the 28th. Due to the shift, I may add more events and revisions. And it's interesting that you know just a few, you had these tremendous unusual tornadoes, happen during that time, and they're equating this to tornadoes to the Earth's shift, which is what we've been talking about for all these years.
It's also sun activity too, the sunspot activities.
Yes.
The flares that have been coming off the sun. A couple weeks ago, around the 28th, there was some mass election or projections of storms coming off the sun that affected our telecommunication system.
Right. Now I'll just play a quick piece of this. This comes from 2012. Dutch Sense has been so accurate on YouTube over the last year or two predicting these earthquakes. But he's talking about tornadoes and earthquake effect, which to me is quite devastating.
It is 3:17 in the morning on Monday, February 28, 2011. And we've just had a wild night. I just brewed a cup of coffee here, and I'm just going to tell it to you how it is. We had a tornado tonight here in St. Louis, and I posted the video. Go over my uploads and check that out. But I'm going to touch on the earthquake that just happened, the series of earthquakes that are happening down in Arkansas, because my wife is here with me, and her is my witness, and we both felt the earthquake that happened down in Arkansas. We just so happened to be just coming up from the basement. We went down in the basement, of course, because of the tornado, and we came up, and next thing you know, she's looking at me, did you just hear that? And there wasn't a flash of lightning or anything like that. The storms had already blown through, and, there you have it. We felt it. That's a first-hand verification. We did feel it. So I want to show you what's going on. This is on IntelliCast, and now they have a couple duplicates listed. But this happens from time to time, and when earthquakes happen, sometimes they register on multiple seismographs, just slightly apart from each other, or as the same earthquake shows up multiple times. So, But let's just take two of those out of there then, okay? And you had a 3.8 and a 4.7 back-to-back. And so that's just, I mean, those are large. I mean, 4.7 is right below 5, which 5 is what you consider a large or greater. So let's just go ahead and look at the shake maps. Here's the actual data, so if you want to go look it up. But it's, I can already tell you where it is. And we're going to, yeah, this is for the past 7 days. Let me turn this down a little bit. I'm going to get to that in a second, too, here. All right, this is the past day. And there you go. So it's in VB, it's in VB, Arkansas, where the rest of them are happening. Now watch as I turn it up. Watch this.
I suggest everybody go to Seismic Activity and Tornadoes on YouTube. And you can...
Right. Look at BB Arkansas, guys. Look at the number. Look at how high that goes. You can't even see it. I have to back it out even more. And you still can't see it. So it is just, compared to anything else on the globe, it's going way worse even than Alaska.
Yeah, it shows tremendous number of...
So let's just zoom back in here really quick and look at what's going on over the last 7 days. The last 7 days has been truly phenomenal in geologic activity, especially on the western portion of the Ring of Fire. Now you can say, oh, you've got that turned on all the way. You can see every earthquake in the world. All right, let's turn it up to 5. You still turn it up to 5. And this, of course, I've shown you how the European, African, and Russian data doesn't come to the United States Geological Survey. They do not put that up there. You have to go find that yourself. And that's just evidenced by there's been 4.0s and 3.0s in France and Poland and Romania over the past week or so, and they would be on here because this had turned down to 7. So I've already proved that. I'm not going to go into that. So there you have it. I mean, it's just insane. So let's just look at one more thing. This is the telemetry data, so we can actually look and see what's going on, and let's just click on a couple of these.
Anyway, it's a very visual report, but it's interesting that so much has happened in relationship to the tornadoes and the earthquakes based on the solar or the polar shift. You know. Well, what's your opinion, George?
Well, all of the above. I mean, it's all happening, but I don't know where it's going to go. You know, it continues.
I know.
And yet it just lingers and lingers and lingers. Yeah. And I can't predict. I don't even want to predict. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? Other than every day I get on the computer, I check my mail. But I also check the geological hotspots of the world.
Right.
And to be truthful, someday I'll get good readings or I'll get some good feedback from Earthquake Central and where the earthquakes are happening. And, for a couple hours I'll get nothing at all or they won't even show the activity. And it's like I'm lucky. Sometimes I get the information, sometimes I don't. But, you know,
right.
It's not constant, and, it's not something you can predict. And, you know, it's like I'm waiting for the hammer to fall, but it's not falling.
I know. I know. It's kind of like we're all sitting around waiting for something to happen, but, other than having this remarkable mild winter, nothing's happening. I pulled up a site that's called 2012 Predictions, and I don't know if there's anything here that really excited me, but they do talk about life on Earth and anomaly of the sun. Let me just go to life on Earth. That was just posted yesterday, and let's see what he says here. Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing there. Yeah, there's so much awkward information trying to find anything now. in 2012 regarding it is difficult, because we've covered this so well over the years, George, that, you know, it's almost impossible to say anything new, you know.
Well, yes and no. You know, I mean, it's all new. I mean, if this stuff happened, let's say, 15, 20 years ago, we would have an altogether different idea or view of what was going on. I mean, you take a look at politics. Now, I'm not a young guy. I'm not an old guy. But, see, I remember the Watergate affair when I was working. I mean, the TV, the radios, everything was tuned to those Watergate hearings. And it was big stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, well, very well. But
I mean, if you take a look, oh, we handled, you know, the Bill Clinton's impeachment and, you know, the whole circus behind that. You know, it was nothing like what we were looking at or following, you know, during the Watergate affair. We were following the real government the way we are. Now, yeah. You know, it's one big illusion. And, you know, it's like right now there's an illusion exposing the illusion. And I think it's good, because that illusion is coming out to the open. You know, we could see now who the characters are behind the screen. And yet, I don't know. I feel like I'm affected somehow, but I'm not affected. You know, it's like, so what?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, George. I think that's interesting, too.
How do you feel about, Lila, about politics now and the way we react to things?
Well, everything happens so instantly, George. You know, as soon as something happens, somebody has an opinion on it. It's almost simultaneous. It's so quick. You know, a few years back, you'd hear about something, you'd get some time to mull on it, and then they'd do a story. You know, everything is happening so fast, I'm not sure sometimes about.
I got an interesting couple of quotes here that you might be interested in, Georgia. This was from the Colburn Bible. A millennia ago, Egyptian and Celtic authors recorded prophetic warnings for the future, and their harbinger signs are now converging in 2012. These predictions are contained in the Colburn Bible. I've never heard of that before, but a secular wisdom text studied in the days of Jesus and lovingly preserved by generations of Celtic mystics in Great Britain. Nearly as big as the King James Bible, this 3,600-year-old text warns of an imminent Armageddon-like a conflict with radical Islam. Wow, isn't that fascinating? It's 3,600 years ago. But this is not the greatest threat. The authors of Colburn Bible predict an end to life as we know it by a celestial event. It will be the return of a massive space object in a long elliptical orbit around our sun, known to the Egyptians and Hebrews as the Destroyer. The Celts later called it the Frightener. And this is from Colburn. Now, I'm going to go to that, colburn.com, which is that Bible, which is fascinating.
Have you ever heard of that, George?
The Colburn Bible?
Yeah. You know, there's so many different stories. I mean, you take the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Understand that the same story was told by Isis and Osiris, you know, thousands of years before.
Yeah.
The prodigal son was Horus. And yet, if you take a look at all the similarities, you know, the virgin mother, you know, him without sin, it's basically telling the same story, but with different people. And it just so happens that after Horus and so forth, you had the great fall, the flood, but that could have been the great cataclysm that happened 9772 BC. And, you know, that could be the ending that they're experiencing now. This time zone, or this time slot that we're in, is coming to a close. And
well,
everyone is...
Hey, I checked this out, George, the Colburn Bible, and it says, newly revealed Egyptian Celtic wisdom text offers the knowledge of those who survived past global catastrophes so we can live. And it just says that There's a publication of it. It says they talk about Planet X and Colburn, Colburn Bible Connection and Planet X Taboro. And it says, millennia ago, Egyptians authors record prophetic warnings. The futures and their harbingers signs are now converging on 212. These predictions are contained in the Colburn Bible, a secular wisdom text studied in the days of Jesus and lovingly preserved by generations of Celtic mystics in Great Britain. Nearly as big as the King James Bible, this 3,600-year-old text of an imminent Armageddon-like conflict with radical Islam, but this is not the greatest threat. The authors of the Colburn Bible predict an end to life as we know it by a celestial event. I just read that, called this the Frightener. And yeah. And then they quote some different manuscripts in this book. And they said that when blood drops upon earth, this is manuscript 3-4, when blood drops upon the earth, the destroyer will appear, and mountains will open up and belch forth fire and ashes. Wow. Trees will be destroyed and all living things engulfed. Water will be swallowed up by the land, and the seas will boil. And this is when blood drops upon the earth. And then manuscript 3-5, it says, the heavens will burn brightly and redly. There will be a copper hue over the face of the land, followed by a day of darkness, and a new moon will appear and break up and fall. That's kind of frightening.
Yeah.
You know, and then it says, manuscript 3-6, the people will scatter in madness. They will hear the trumpet and battle cry of the destroyer, and will seek refuge within the dens of in the earth. I'm just thinking, I'm wondering if that's those sounds that people have heard around the world. Terror will eat away their hearts, and their courage will flow from them like water from a broken pitcher, and they will be eaten, you in the flame of wrath, consumed by the breath of the destroyer. Pretty freaky stuff.
Yeah, it is.
The last verse says, in 3:10, it says, in those days men will have the great book before them, wisdom will be revealed, and the few will be gathered for the strand, or the stand. It is the hour of trial. The dauntless one will survive. The stout-hearted will not go down to destruction. I said the destroyer is also known today as Wormwood, Nibiru, Planet X, and Nemesis. There are also troubling prophetic correlations to the future predictions of Mother Shipton's fiery dragon and the Red Comet, warning of the Mayan calendar 2012. While these future predictions are uncertain at best, it is possible for us to know about the destroyer's previous flybys with a great degree of certainty. So,
The only thing that we're missing here is the aliens coming down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
or the asteroid from coming or hitting the Earth. That's the only thing that we're missing there.
Oh, I agree.
Everything else is happening. So, the year is not over yet. So, you know, maybe those end pieces will come into play any time now.
Here's another book. It's called Planet X and 2012 Survival Guide. But the interesting thing is, and we've talked about this a number of times on the show, about the possibility of comets. And it says, what is Planet X? It could be a comet, a rogue planet, or, as this book maintains, a dying brown dwarf companion to Sol. In the years to come, its elliptical orbit will bring it into the core of our system, where it will enrage our sun. And once that happens, Earth's greatest pains will come in a moment fate puts us in the crosshairs of a perfect solar storm. The purpose of this book is to help those who now agree that time is of the essence. It does this by offering a practical 2012 toolkit and so on and so forth on how to survive. But it's interesting that they're predicting that Planet X might be what causes all of this.
You said time is of the essence. Time for what? Or what is it that we're waiting for?
I don't know. We are the ones we're waiting for. Remember that? Because the whole piece said that.
Yeah. But time. What are they talking about, these times? We're in these times. We're experiencing.
I have no idea. I really don't.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time, I think, this last couple of weeks, of course, with John Ford. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
The UFO researcher who's been thrown in a mental hospital for the last 16 years because he stepped on toes.
How is he doing now?
Well, he's still, as far as I know, they had a hearing for him, and the hearing was postponed until the end of April, where he'll have a chance to go in front of the board there. And, you know, they have to evaluate, you know, his situation. And, you know, I don't want to get into any of the legalities of this. I really don't know other than I'm just concerned because it's coming back to a head. And John was talking about aliens a long, long time ago. And it just so happens that he got snagged by the, you know, the people that control this information. Even though now that information is out, and I think it's only a matter of time before our government totally acknowledges, you know, the alien presence. I mean, the other countries around the world have, I should say 80% of them. And, you know, we've acknowledged that there are at least 56 different cultures that are visiting us. But, you know, it's come to a time where this stuff is coming to the surface. And this man, he can't hold any longer because what he was talking about is true and you can't deny it. But I think it's just returning its course. And, you know, if that's the course that we have to take, you talk about Wormwood. And, you know, the ending of this world, Revelations, as they talk about it, that, you know, now is the time that it is to happen. And, you know, we take a look at these tornadoes and earthquakes, and, you know, it's like we're not laughing them off, but, you know, these are those things of mass destruction that they're talking about. But yet we're able to, you know, dust it off our feet or just like water off a duck's back. We not only survive the knowledge of it, but, you know, we're living and living around it. And we have the options available to us to do that. And, you know, I don't know if they would have had that 1,500 years ago, I mean, as we have now. But, you know, maybe it's a time where we can rise above all of this and not have to worry about these natural catastrophes and wiping us out completely, that we've raised ourselves above that and learned consciously or maybe subconsciously, you know, how to avoid this this mere trivia that we have to put up, we call, you know, daily life. But I don't know. You know, I'm a free thinker here, and I don't know what to expect, but I'll tell you what, I've done a lot of contemplating, I think, my own religious beliefs, my own personal beliefs, and you know, I question a lot of what I've thought over the years, and it's not that I doubt any of it. It's just it's a time of questioning, and it's scary for me. I'm sorry, you know, I don't know everything. And yet, one thing I have learned is that I don't know everything. But I'm just rambling on here. But, you know, we are living in such interesting times. I don't know what to make of it other than to enjoy it.
Well, you know, George, as you've been talking, I've been kind of skimming through the Internet. And I guess this is what fascinates me to the extent that never before in all of history, known history anyway, has knowledge been so accessible instantaneously to us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, through the 5 minutes that you've been speaking, and I've been listening, I've been trying to find different texts to back up our theories here, and you know, it's just amazing how much information there is available on stuff like this. The Scroll of Imad, the books of manuscripts from the Kilburn Bible. I'm looking at it here. It says the writings from olden days tell of strange things, of great happenings in the times of our fathers who lived in the beginning. This is all men could know such times declared by the Book of Ages, but the gods had their birth in events and things which were in the beginning. And it talks about how the world once began and how it ended before. The stone, light, and fire were stolen in the days of disaster, and none now know their resting place. Therefore, the land was empty. And so, you know, what it appears to me that what we think might happen has already happened at one time to mankind, or to our earth. And this is just another cycle of that same thing. Now, whether it'll destroy all of the earth and all of mankind with it, we don't know. But we know
we can always go back, Leo, to the last session. You know, we talk about the precession of the equinox every 26,000 years. You know,
right.
We go through this cycle.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just another one of those cycles that we're going through.
It appears to be, but who the hell was around 26,000 years ago, you know, to validate this experience? But and was our technology 6,000 years ago as advanced as it is today? It may have been, but
I believe I was, Leo. I believe that I'm just remembering what I forgot, and I'm just reliving an experience that I've
George,
before.
I agree with you.
I've said that before.
I so agree with you, especially recently. I've been writing this book, and things have, you know, there were blanks in my mind of things that actually took place, and they started to come together. But I so agree with you that this is the essence of what we're dealing with here. Incarnation of our minds. We've been here before, you know.
Yeah.
We've been here before. You don't think so?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
You remember that fellow on Star Trek Q?
What's that?
You remember the fellow on Star Trek Q?
No.
The omnipresent being.
No. I don't remember that.
I was never a Trekkie, so I don't remember that.
I kind of forgot that whole...
This was the latest Star Trek, where this fellow, his name was Q, that he could do anything he wanted. And, if you're not familiar with the character, I can't go on here. But other than I can say that sometimes I think of maybe we all are Qs, omni-gods ourselves, and we are producing and living this world, and nothing can interfere with what we want. And the same with Q. Q can relate and set up, you know, a whole world, you know, for his entertainment. But the reason why I bring this up is that I do believe that I am somewhat responsibility for the world that I'm in, I live in, and I experience. And I do believe that I draw this world to myself, so I am responsible for that. But I'm also responsible and part of the part of experiencing, you know, this good life. And I do believe that I've gone through this process before for some reason, and it could have been maybe a zillion years ago, but. I do believe that I'm just remembering something I already know, and
yeah.
I'm just turning to that where I came from.
I think you're right, George, and I believe that because there are things that open up, and I'm beginning to understand the parallel universe. I'm beginning to understand the
consciousness.
Yeah. And I'm seeing it more and more and more, and I'm each day, and I As I probe my subconscious, as I probe my memory, I'm in the process of writing another novel, and it just flows. It's flowing from places unknown, and the memory is so specific, and yet it's so.
Well, there's creativity in that.
Well, there's creativity in it, no question. But it just is flowing. I mean, pages upon pages upon pages every day of dialogue and thought and seeing it and remembering it.
As you saw it.
As I saw it,
doesn't mean it happened that way.
It did. It happened.
You know, all that stuff.
It happened to me.
Well, that was...
And the way that I saw it.
That was the way you saw it. It doesn't mean really that
it
happened that
way. No, it
doesn't
necessarily mean the way you saw it, because you didn't exist at that time that I was writing it in my mind.
No, you're missing my point.
So, but the thing is that what I'm trying to express is the fact that there are so many levels to our existence that when you tap into it, the memory flows. And floods where you consciously you can't remember things, and then when you tap into them they just swell, and you do, and certain things trigger that that memory, and it just comes forth as you pump it, you know, as you pump the prime the pump, and I'm finding that to be the case. Not only just in this particular novel, but in so many other areas, all right, of my life and my consciousness, if you will, and I do believe, George, that we're experiencing something that I've never quite experienced before, in the sense that in the last 6 or 8 months, this ability to understand at a deeper level of my subconscious, you know, or even my conscious, if you will.
If I can just step in for 1 second,
yeah.
And to think, I heard the other day that they stopped producing the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I remember as a kid that, I mean, every couple of years they used to come out with a new set.
Right.
And everything that we knew was in that encyclopedia.
Yeah.
You remember the username?
I remember.
You remember
I
using encyclopedias?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to believe that they no longer publish it because it's obsolete.
Well,
it's
not,
on the Internet.
No, it's not obsolete. It's just that they've stopped producing the paper version.
In that format, that's all.
And they're updating everything into a digital format, which...
All right. What I'm saying is the information that we read about in that is no longer valid. I mean, we've gone above and beyond that. And, you know, the volumes of information, instead of 100,000 of volumes, we have 100 million volumes now compared to what we had 20 years ago. So
million.
I'm just saying that the information is obsolete because we've far surpassed that knowledge. And then some. But you were talking, Leo, earlier, you know, the knowledge that we have, we outlived the knowledge that we once had that was part of our heritage. And, you know, it's growing leaps and bounds at this point. And that's what scares me, that we can't even keep this in a written form any longer because it's obsolete.
What I find even a little bit amusing is what was absolute fact 20 years ago isn't fact anymore.
Yeah.
As you move along in time, the so-called facts and truisms have all changed.
Well, especially physics and mathematics.
People speak with such finality about things, you know, when really they're talking about theories. They're not talking about facts at all.
That's true. That's true.
That's the part that I find a little bit amusing.
But even if you explore it in the broadest sense of multiple dimensions that we exist in, this is, I honestly believe, George, I believe it's coming together. somehow it's coming together now. For me personally, I've never seen such a connection before in my thought processes. But at the same time, I've never seen. In my life, I don't think I've experienced the depth of understanding politically or socially that I have at this point. Maybe that has to do with age, but an experience. But
the wisdom of age.
The wisdom of age. Yeah, the Mayan.
Yeah, but wisdom of age comes every month or every 6 months or every year of our existence. I mean, it's not something you learn over a lifetime. It's something you learn over a period of time.
Yeah.
And it's something bounds, you know, it's amazing the depth of not only the emotions, but the intellect, you know,
right.
On a daily basis. I mean, from one day to the next, you know, things could change drastically. And it's not something you can predict other than just by of contemplating on something. You know, we have more knowledge or more options, or maybe we have more of an ability to experience them than we did, you know, whenever. But I don't know what the hell to make out of it other than to enjoy it.
Well, you got it, George. And I think I'm enjoying it in the sense that there's a greater clarity, all right? Not only to my past, present, and future, but to all of the levels in between, you know, and I think that memory is becoming a greater asset to me as I exist, because only because I understand the aspect much more of co-creation, if you will. You know, understanding how each step that we travel in this life, we created first in our minds, okay, and then pursued that, and then created it again in our minds, and the next step, and created it again in our minds, in the next step. So each phase of our life...
We hope that happens.
No, we know that it happens. Lila,
it happens. That's if you're mindful, but some people just roll along and let life happen to them.
But that is their mindset, Lila. That's exactly what they expect. That's what they get. All right, it's the same thing. Some people create, other people, you know, exist, you know, from minor creation. You know, each person creates the dinner, you know, they create a whatever it is, or you know, they go about their daily life, whatever it may be, pathetic or grandiose or just whatever it may be, okay. But it's all first created in their minds, okay. Each day that they wake up is the next day. What are you going to do today? I don't know, but we're going this route. So we open up these areas by moving into these vehicles. You wake up, you go to your work. And then whatever is there creates your day. Same with me, you know. I predict. I know more or less what I want to do during a day. So that's, you know, something that happens and unfolds as you move along. But the event that we're waiting for, the great event, okay, of enlightenment, of ascension, of prophetic revelation, right, happens every single minute of our day. We're creating it. It's just that the problem is, you know, we don't realize it. Okay, we don't realize it. We take it for granted. We're sleeping through it. You know, we're creating it as we dream, all right, and we wake. And we're so callous to our own inspiration, to our own abilities, that we neglect the fact that we are creating each second of the day, right?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Leo.
It's a wonderful thing. But what I'm saying is it makes me understand better the concept of co-creation, all right? That whole concept of co-creation that is supposed to happen to us in this year, 2012, when we, as mankind, comes onto his own and into enlightenment and understands that he creates with God, okay, his life, his world, right? And that, that's what I see. Perhaps that, maybe I'm wrong, but,
others may have come to it before or later.
Well, hello.
Nobody
somebody invented this language we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking here. It's just another vehicle to get through here. Somebody created the internet,
Okay.
It's a vehicle that we use. So it's like, nothing, it's not necessarily new. The vehicle is there, okay? But the words we express and the way we express them are our own creation, So, that's what I'm saying, George.
I have some kind of a sense inside of me. I don't want to be a burden to anybody, and I don't want to make a burden to anybody. It's like holding on to somebody else. And holding them back from something that, is not my right to do. And, it's like a drive that I have. And, the second half of my life, that my journey is to give back what I've received and not ask anything in return because it doesn't belong to me. I just possess it. And, I think if nothing else, my fear is that I would be a responsibility for somebody else to take care of me if I couldn't, let's say. So it's less dependence on other people, and it's not I don't like to get close to people. It's just that it's not my right to hold somebody back, or when people die. A lot of times our grief is what we're losing, not what they were. And I wouldn't want to be a burden on anybody. And, I see in small things, in my life, like memorabilia that I have, that, it's nice to keep, but it's also nice to, let go and destroy, and like old mass cards or something that, I have several of. I don't need them. And I don't feel guilty for throwing them away other than, everything has a purpose. And for some reason, I just feel better by letting go of something, letting go of feelings, but letting go of holding back my, my friend or my fellow person. And I don't think it's my selfishness. It's other than, I don't think it's our right to hold back our fellow beings or people. Something in our lives.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying too, in essence, is that we don't want to hold back. We want to give, and we want to give as much as we can for being here. And I read something not too long ago about light bearers. Okay, people who bring light to the world. And this is the time now when light bearers will see themselves for who they are.
Yeah.
Okay. They may have been throughout their lives bearers of light, but not realize their true selves, why they are such. But a light bearer is somebody who brings illumination to a person's life, okay, to other people.
Clarity is what you
clarity,
think.
Yeah, some clarity, or bringing fire, bearers of fire to humanity. They suffered for that. They were punished for that. Prometheus was punished for that, many other gods who brought, life and knowledge and advancements to humanity. But at the same time, they received the eternal gratitude of humanity for that sacrifice. Okay, and that's what light bearers are. And I believe, George, you're a light bearer. I'm a light bearer. Lila's a light bearer. Anybody who disseminates information to the public for the betterment of mankind is a light bearer. Okay, and whether they were divined that way or they became that way, that's up to debate. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't know why I have to do what I do. I just do it. It just happens. I have to do it. I have to do these programs. I have to create this website. I have to create my articles. I have to write my books. I have to speak out. I have to do what I do. It's just like being addicted to, I don't know, it's like you have to do it. It's part of you.
Yeah.
And I can't explain it other than that. It's what I have to do. And Lila's the same way. Every week she's right here with me, and she's right here, doing everything she can to bring the word out to people. We don't know why we're doing it. I mean, it's not because we're godly or saintly or anything else. It's because we have
an urgency.
An urgency, yeah.
And you have fun, too. Admit it.
What?
I do. Hey, we got to have some fun out of life, you know?
We have fun.
That's the problem. We take life too serious sometimes. We got to laugh.
It's a real pleasure to do it. And even though it's a discipline, and sometimes it's a grind, sometimes the information that we cover isn't that wonderful to cover, but it's and in fact many times it's very difficult to read. Many times it's very difficult to try to express publicly the horrors that exist. But at the same time, we feel that we just feel like we're conduits to that information. And it has to go out somehow. It has to reach people. Even though it's one person or 100,000 people, it has to be heard.
It is heard, but sometimes you think too much, you know? And you put so much into it that
we cannot do
eat
it,
all
George.
That.
I've forgotten about that because it raised my blood pressure too much and it made me sick. So now I'm just more of like, I think of Maria. You know, what she said about her, the way she is as a psychic, she doesn't remember, she doesn't remember, but she doesn't hold on to anything emotionally, you know. It just kind of like goes through her. And and that's the way I feel when I try to relate these horrible news items or these things that I feel have to be mentioned. I can't hold on to them. I'll remember them, but I can't hold on to them.
Your emotional part can't hold on to them.
It's too
painful.
It's too painful.
But through compassion, though, you can experience it and not take it personally.
Oh, exactly. But at the same time, you have to be able to express it, because how is anybody going to know about it? You know? How will more people know about these things? Unless we express them verbally to the world. I mean, there are people out there who might be listening to this program that are blind. There are people out there that may not have access to these things where they are.
They don't know
where to look.
Or they don't have the time.
But maybe they have the time to listen to this program and pick things up. But regardless of what we do,
we could find a way.
Yeah, and like I said, George, I really enjoy doing these shows. I enjoy doing this Friday night show with you, and Lila does, and we're we talk about things that people need to hear, you know,
yeah.
And we try to express them in the most genuine way we can. There are people who question them the same way we do. And maybe we answer some questions, or maybe we bring more questions.
Well, maybe create more questions.
Yeah.
But we're now right to the end of our show.
Oh, my God. George, we've got 1 minute left of stream time here.
So you want to say goodnight to the folks?
I'll say goodnight. It's been a long night for me. I want to thank you folks for being there. I love you both very much. And I love the audience out there.
Yeah.
And I am optimistic that with this year that even though we have some rough weather ahead, but, you know, we can do it ourselves, or we can get by with one another's helps. And I have no doubt about it. And it can be pleasant or it can be hard.
Well, we wish you smooth sailing, George.
Yeah, we definitely do. And we hope we hope our audience smooth sails along as well.
That's right.
And gets through this year and the next, you know.
Well,
but
let's focus on the moment. We want smooth sailing for this moment and enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
I'll be with you guys.
And with you too, George.
I kind of want the next moment too, you know. but this moment's pretty good. So, George, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you very, very soon, and you take care of yourself. All right?
All right. Good night now. Thank you.
All right,
good night.
Buddy. Good night. And thank you, everybody, for joining us, and join us next Tuesday night. And tell your friends about this show if you like it. And if you don't like it, you know, don't tell anybody or lie about it. So
put on the music,
yeah, Leo. So I'm going to do that. I'm just sending over my programs to these to Facebook and whatever, Twitter. The rest of the world knows that I had a show tonight. And thank you.
Good night, folks.
Pleasant evening.